What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Breaking Blue podcast. That was way too positive sounding of an introduction. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Breaking Blue podcast. Anyway, I'm Nolan. Still got Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff, with me. Wyatt, how you doing?
Doing great.
It's a great day.
Basketball's almost in full swing, but football played another clunker Saturday. So it's kind of like mixed emotions.
Extremely. Extremely. Okay, so I went to Big Blue Madness on Friday. You were there too, I believe, right? It was a great time. It was that's the first one I've ever been to. Highly recommend it to anybody. Got two tickets. Thanks for one of them. Had another person. Yeah, my brother won, so we both got to go. So it was a fun time. It was really cool. I love the introductions, but we'll get more into that later because y'all want to hear more about that, apparently, according to this Twitter poll, and less about the game. So we'll just get the negative shit out of the way early because Jesus Christ. For the second time in a row, Kentucky has lost to Vanderbilt football at home. It's 20-13. Terrible game. Never felt good about that game. Kentucky drops to, I believe, 2-10 in their last 12 home games, and I believe in their last six they've only won one. I don't know what you say about it, to be honest with you. I was telling Wyatt off the air, this is for the first time since I've been doing podcasts, shout out Chris Beesmore, that I've ever come on to one of these episodes and kind of thought, what do you say, right? Because there are people that I have a lot of respect for that I kind of am wanting to be a little considerate about feelings with here. I'll just say it was a terrible game to start off, and then we can go from there. It was terrible. Why? What'd you think?
It was terrible, and to have the fan turnout you did, and everything was going right, rocking crowd.
The blackout worked.
Yeah, I was about to say, for the most part, a really, really nice blackout. Great environment, and then you can't get it done once again for the fans.
I could not believe the blackout worked, by the way. At the tailgates, walking around Kroger Field about 3 hours to kick off, all I saw was blue and white.
That threw me off.
I think I tweeted it, too. I was not feeling good about it. It felt really bad. Even at first when I went into the stadium, didn't see a lot of black. But it worked out. It looked pretty good. That's the only positive I can take from that game.
It is. And then, again, the end-of-half situation like you had, it's become the norm now to have a letdown and wait in the first half. The middle eight, once again, bites Stoops.
We're terrible at the end of the half. Good God. How did we manage what we did at the end of the second quarter is what I'm trying to figure out. We had the ball with 2 minutes to go.
Yep.
It was like second down or whatever.
It was third and 18, I think.
Something like that. We had the ball, and then they somehow score a touchdown.
Yeah,
in that amount of time. How do you manage
it? Third and 18 for Vandy.
How
do you let that happen? I was in the press box and I let out, oh my God. Like, I can't believe it.
So we're going to have to ask you to leave. But,
no, nothing like that. They have rules up in the press box, but some people don't follow.
I would not. If I was up there.
I try to be very, very cautious of what I do.
I would probably never follow it.
Well, when stuff happens on the field, everybody lets out a ooh or a ah, so it happens.
Excuse me, I'm taking a drink of water while you stop there. But it's little things like that. Also, the penalties. This is the most undisciplined football team the last 2 years I have ever seen.
Penalties for 106 yards.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The first drive of the game, Dane Key makes a huge catch, first down. you're driving into Vanderbilt's territory. And he does something just so stupid. He hits the guy on the back of the head. They throw the flag.
I didn't actually watch what he did. I just
They throw the flag 15 yards, and then they can't move for the rest of the drive. And I'm not trying to point out Dan Key specifically necessarily, but it's things like that with this team.
The red zone issues are probably even worse than the end of half issues for Stoops.
They're terrible. I think
Corey Price tweeted this out after the game. Four combined touchdowns in their first four SEC games this season.
My God, yep.
The fewest in their first four SEC games of the season since 2011.
That's terrible. That is terrible. We have no idea what we're doing in the red zone ever. No. We have no clue what we're doing. We will not throw in the red zone, by the way, ever. And then when we do, the pocket collapses quicker than, I mean, it's so quick that Brock has to roll out immediately and pretty much just throw it away, throw it into coverage, whatever.
The crazy thing is, this isn't just an issue this year. It's been an issue the last couple of years.
Big time.
And I can't get down to the bottom of it.
Red zone issues crippled the team last year. And it feels like we don't learn from anything. It feels like we're at. It feels like we haven't learned anything from last year as a coaching staff. That is just
and the thing is, it's different offensive coordinators almost each year at this point. And now a lot of people are putting the blame on Bruce Hamden, and you can't do that.
Nope. I will say about that, I'm done blaming offensive coordinators for offensive problems. There's a common denominator in all of it, and it is Mark Stoops. It's simple.
And no offense to Stoops, but I'm pretty sure he has the final say in a lot of things.
You're the head coach. There's no way you don't.
Yeah. It's to the point where it's like, hey, you've got all these different coordinators that have come and gone. They're doing better at other places. William Cohen's killing it.
William Cohen's offense scored 51 points in the NFL yesterday. He was named Coach of the Week on NFL Network this morning.
Against the really nice Saints team, too. They've actually done pretty good this year.
Pretty good defense there, too.
Yeah.
My head is spinning right now, Wyatt. Like, what? What the heck, man?
I don't understand it, and it's something about home games. I kind of don't have it pulled up, but I know you brought up the 2-10 in SEC.
Yep. The two wins. Insane. Who were the two wins? They were Florida last year. And
I don't know.
I don't think we had another one last year, did we? Who are they?
No.
Who are they?
I don't know. I didn't really look up into that, but I did do some digging about, you know, the record off bye weeks. And I think I said 6-10, maybe.
I'm trying to think.
Which is still since it only went back to 2012, which Stoops' tenure.
Yeah,
and I counted them all, and some games were Saturday, and then you play again not next week, but the next Thursday, which kind of threw me off. But either way, I did count 6-10, which is insanely bad.
All right, I'm looking at this. I'm trying to see who our last wins at home, our last conference wins at home were. I know Florida.
Were they both Florida?
They might have. Was it LSU? No, it wasn't LSU. We won. Was it Mississippi State in 2022? Was that the last one?
Didn't we beat LSU at home one year?
Yeah, but I think we've won two since then is the whole point.
Oh.
Who did we even beat in conference last year?
No, Mississippi State was away last year, I thought.
2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Might be them.
It might have been, yeah.
That's terrible. You won one SEC home game last year. We should have talked more about that last year.
I mean, I know the bye weeks I did count. I'm pretty sure it's like three or four times the Cats played Tennessee after a bye week, which doesn't really help the record at all. But still, the point still stands. It's an awful record. Awful record and an awful trend. You're trying to knock down doors, and now you're going down.
So. We got to give ourselves credit real quick. We've said since episode 2, maybe, that this game needed more respect on this podcast.
Vandy's really good. And I'm not going to lie, kind of as the game, as it kind of got closer to game time, I was like, I think that can handle Diego Pavia. And he torched him.
He killed him.
Especially offensive.
And I went back and re-listened. I went back and listened to what we said last week. I don't usually listen to my own podcast, but like, I just wanted to hear what we said, see how much it added up with my little notes and all that stuff. We were right most all the time. Everything that we said needed to happen happened for Vanderbilt. Time of possession.
That's insane.
We said time of possession was key to this game and the front, dominating the front.
Yep.
And containing a running quarterback. None of that happened, and they won time of possession by quite a bit, too, I reckon.
Yeah,
and we lost. Imagine that.
I think they had a 15-minute advantage, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to look that up real quick. But
I'm pretty sure it is.
It feels like we did more prep than maybe the coaching staff or the players did, is what I'm afraid of. And that... And that's not tooting my own horn, by the way. I'm not trying to say, like, I'm this, like, football savant. I'm not. Like, but still.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. I mean, the whole week, I was like, they've got to contain Poppy. And then I got close to the game. I was like, I think they can do it. I mean, but then I started having that track record of the bye week in the back of my head. Oh, maybe Vandy isn't, you know, like, maybe Pavi is for real.
And he proved it the other night.
He absolutely proved it, yeah.
He definitely proved it. He had a great game. The thing about this game compared to the South Carolina game, to me, though, and we kind of talked about the South Carolina game in these terms a little bit, but I think this game feels like confirmation that the South Carolina game was probably the turning of the tide.
Yeah.
I know we beat Ole Miss. We did beat Ole Miss. I will love that win forever, for the rest of my life. But that we can't let that blind us. That was the most symbolic game I can think of for Kentucky, is that we are – I don't want to say that we are taking a step back as a program necessarily. We might be. We're pushing it. We're stuck in neutral right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I think Chris Fisher pointed this out on Twitter, which is completely true. After a big win, Stoops is known to have a letdown, and we saw that Saturday.
Kirk Herbstreit, like, said on game day.
Everything, did he?
Yeah, he said on game day that Mark Stoops invented having a letdown game after winning a big game.
It's true. And now that I think about it, every sign thinking about Saturday pointed to a loss. His bye week record isn't good. You're coming off a huge win, like probably the best road win in your tenure, obviously.
Best road win maybe in the history of the school.
Yeah. And then you factor in the crowd. Like, the crowd is like, everybody's into it. Mm-hmm. It just shaped up for a letdown. We got that on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm still kind of at a loss for words, to be honest with you, at this point. I'm trying not to beat a dead horse too bad, because it feels like everyone's...
I mean, all that you can really say is, like, you go up and then you go back down. And you can't get anywhere. You can't get anywhere playing like this.
Yeah. And I'm not going to call for Stoops' job today. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not either.
But there's going to have to be a change. There has to be a change. The way this program has been running for the last 2 years, it's not working. It's not working at all. We have, I think, a little bit of a culture issue. We have a little bit of a coaching issue. And those things have come together as one now and have created a monster.
And I think adding on to that, I'll let you finish in a minute, but adding on to that, like, if you're going to beat your chest, you've got to back it up. And you can't keep having these letdown games after a big loss or a big win like that. It can't keep happening because you can't get anywhere. Because you do good, and then you basically stay right where you are, but now we're kind of going down.
And to quote Matt Jones, he's talked about them having an undeserved arrogance. I think he's hit the nail on the head with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This team has an undeserved arrogance. After every single tackle, someone is doing something, celebrating. After every single yard gained, someone is celebrating. And I don't get it. I really don't.
Even the coaching staff, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not obvious. Or okay. It's not obvious. Like,
and, like,
you can easily see it.
I love Vince Merrill. I love Mark Stoops. Well, I respect Mark Stoops for the things he's done in the past here.
I was getting at one of those coaches, but I don't say his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm going to avoid it as well.
I really want to say.
But anyway.
Just know it's not just the players.
Nope.
The staff has a tendency to do it.
We can talk about that in a second. But I love Vince Merrill. I respect Mark Stoops for the things he's done in the past. Get off of Twitter. Get off of Twitter. You have
to. And it's not just being mean about it, but you get off Twitter for your own sake.
I'm not saying it'll help
in the long run.
I think I understand being on there for rat poison, bulletin board material, yada yada yada. But we're getting. Stop clapping back at everything. Stop responding to everything. The more you respond, the more other teams take notice. You're giving them bulletin board material now.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop. And also, I did see some people exposing it Saturday after the game, even some of our own fans.
And there's a Vince Merrill parody account. Really thought it was real at first.
But, I did too. I remember that. I retweeted it.
Just stick with this PBN or whatever you said.
3 seconds later, I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's not real. So I went undid my retweet.
So convincing now.
I'm not afraid to admit that I did fall for it for a second.
I fell for it. I mean, I didn't post it or anything like that, but I mean, I thought it was real. I was convinced. But yeah, we have a culture problem just in general. I don't know how you fix the culture problem. That's the problem. So I don't know how you fix it. Most of the time you don't. I will admit.
I don't understand where the arrogance is coming from, to be honest.
I don't either. There's nobody really left from those 10-3 teams.
Yeah.
Except for JJ Weaver.
The conference has gotten so much better and you're kinda staying the same, and now it looks like you're starting to head down a little bit. But I don't know where it's coming from. It's not like you beat South Carolina and Vandy.
Yeah, and I do maintain, we said this after the South Carolina game, I'm going to maintain it here. I kind of maintained it a little bit after the Ole Miss game, but not really. I don't know that Mark Stoops is coming back, but the thing about that is he's not getting fired. It's not going to happen. I don't think people know how expensive that is. I believe it's like $25 million. Does that sound accurate?
That's probably right, yeah.
There's been rumors before that maybe it's higher. There's been rumors that maybe it's lower. I don't think anyone is completely aware.
Anyway, like we talked about with Cal, where are you getting the money? Like, where's the money? Like, that's really expensive. And to just to fire the coach, you have a whole – you have an entire athletics program to run. You can't just – that's a lot of money.
No, you can't just be throwing it to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
And you got to consider how much you have to hire someone else.
Here's a big question I want to throw at you and see what your take is on.
All right.
Are we to the point that we've reached the peak of the Stoops era? Like, have we already reached the peak and we're seeing it kind of slope down a little bit?
I think there's two ways you can answer that question, to be honest with you. Without changes, yes. If he were to maintain everything he's been doing, by far. Matter of fact, we're heading towards a downward spiral, if that's the case. If he were to change, then I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, you never know. It depends on the talent. We got to remember, too, we have a top 25 recruiting class right now that's coming in next year.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys from the class last year, which was a monster class by our standards, are going to be playing next year if Stoops is back. I still don't really think he's going to be back. I've not really thought that ever. I'm going to be honest. I kind of thought from the get-go that this was probably his last rodeo here.
He was almost out the door last year.
I don't think people understand how close that was either.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody understands how close that was. I think that was happening. They got pretty far in that, obviously, but still. I don't know where he would go. I don't know if he would just step aside. I could see that happening. I could see him retiring.
I see your point where you're like, you don't know where he'll go because you
don't know who'd want him.
Exactly. And also, it's midseason right now, so you don't know what will be open. But
if I was open, I think he would be on the list, but I don't know that he'll be the top of the list. But I think that job might be open. Mm-hmm. I think if that's open, then that's probably most likely what happens. I got no inside information. I'm not making any outrageous claim here. I'm just saying what I think will happen. I think it's been noted for a long time, though, that Iowa was kind of a place he would not mind coaching at because it's his alma mater. That's been noted ever since he got here.
I just thought of something. What about Florida?
Florida? No. That ship has sailed. I don't think there's a job that of that caliber that would take him. Florida State out of the question too. Auburn.
Well, do you think this season has any effect on that? Because last year he almost went to A&M, and isn't A&M basically a better job than Florida, or almost the same?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of depends. That's a big pop. I think it depends on what happens for the rest of the year. I'm sure if we were to go 6-6, 7-5, he's out the door. He's gone. That's it. I don't think that's happening. I don't see 6 wins. It's not happening. I just don't believe it's happening. I think we're going to be 5-7. We're 4-8. We might not win one more game.
You know what sucks?
Yeah.
I'm going to the Tennessee game, and I've been looking forward to it for
man.
A couple weeks. And
we might Saturday, be 3-5 going in that game.
It makes me sad, man, because I was looking forward to a really competitive game. And maybe they can make it competitive, but
maybe
not giving me much hope right now.
No, I believe Florida opened as a -2 point favorite. I don't think we're beating Florida. I hate to say it. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
It's a tough place to play anyway. And you
very.
Night.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to point, it just came out that the Cats will play Auburn.
7:45
next weekend. Yep, 7:45 next weekend.
We got 3 7:45 games in a row. Shoot, man.
I like night games, but the wait, like Tom Petty says, the waiting is the hardest.
The waiting part. Is in fact the hardest part. That is great pull by you. I wonder how many people be at that game. I really do.
I'm really worried about it, too.
I'm scared to death about it. If we lose to Florida, I don't know. We get 50,000 people in that building.
And I want to give credit to you for this. I remember early in the season, I kind of brushed Auburn off like, eh. But now, it's very, 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 very possible the Cats lose that one.
It's just a trap game is kind of what I think about it. It's in between Florida and in between Tennessee.
They're actually better than I've thought.
Yeah. I don't know that Auburn's necessarily good. It's just that we always have those games. This was a trap game. Vanderbilt was a trap game. And I realize we spent 24 minutes on it when we said we weren't going to. We were going to talk about Big Blue Madness.
That's okay. That's okay. But
come on. We got to grieve a little bit. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's
like I told you before we started. It's in season, and you gotta talk about
it. Yeah, that's true. But I promise we'll spend maybe 5 more minutes on it and then move on. We might not do gambling today. I know we're not going to do score predictions for this Florida game. We haven't talked about it. We're not going to talk about it. But
I couldn't tell you what will happen today.
Much smarter men than me did not.
Like the crazy thing is, they play better on the road than they do at home.
Oh yeah, by far. Not even by far.
The crowd has been insane at home.
Crowd's great at home. They've built, to Mark Stoops' credit, this program has built a great tradition at home games. It's great. The environment is great. I'm not saying we're top 10 in the SEC. Don't know about that. I haven't been everywhere. But we've made a case for top 25 in the country, top 30 in the country for sure. That is, Mark Stoops deserves all the credit in the world for that. If it was not for him, that would not have happened. But the university, man, there's rumors going around now. As they talked about this on KSR today. I don't think they've been verified, so I'm not going to act like they've been verified. But that the K-Fund might be taking up some of that green space in Kroger Field.
I was wondering.
Giving it to big companies or whatever for tailgating, where they pay like $1,000 for a tailgate for $2,000, $3,000, whatever the hell. It is. That is terrible. That is a really bad idea. If you want to lose the fan base quickly, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and sign the check, Mitch.
Yeah, and tailgating is such a big part of college football, and they're going to take some of that away from fans. It doesn't make sense. It's like you've already made slaps in the face before the common fan, and now you're doing it again.
You did it for years with the alcohol, for years. And now you're going to do it with what you said about Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about that if you don't want to. Let's not touch that one.
Yeah, that's not too big of an issue.
I think what that's symbolic of is more of the focus on the money rather than the focus on the common people. Yeah, I understand.
I don't have as much of an issue with what I brought up about the media seating than the tailgates, because that was the media seat where the big donors are sitting now. So the only people that would complain is media. So to me, it's kind of a waste. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. That's fair.
I told you, like, I don't take stuff for granted. Like, I've dreamed of doing media for UK since I started my Instagram in 2018. I kind of realized, like, it was fun. So, and the only people that would complain about that is media. So it's kind of a waste to talk about it because nobody else really cares.
Yeah, and that's fair. But I just think I just use that as an example a little bit as the focus of the university.
As a common fan, since I'm media, does that bother you though? Because we talked about it. Like,
are you talking about the Rupp Arena seating?
Yeah, because I don't know if like where they.
I'm bothered by it because I think the media are taking seats from the common fan.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
That's what I'm bothered by is the fact that that's what's happening.
Yeah, because I kind of wonder, did that take some seats?
Let me say right now, I'm not blaming the media even a little bit for it. The media didn't do anything. Wyatt, you're in the clear. I'm not blaming the media. This is about the university.
When I found out that they were moving us there, I was kind of like, what? What are they doing?
So then what section is it? 230?
235. Yeah, so they used to have media at the center where the...
Yeah, with like the tables and stuff. The
hockey.
Yeah.
They call it like the hockey thing, majig.
The press box thing,
Yeah. It's like, right in front of the upper deck.
So penalty box. Is that what they called it?
Well, where the ribbon board is. We're
yeah.
Right above
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they used to have us there, and now that's for premium seating. And there's a media room upstairs that has popcorn and drinks. That's now for premium people. So we're not even allowed in there. So for right now, I'm not a big fan of it. And if it does take seating away from the common fan that have us up there in 235, then that's where I will complain.
That's where, because, yeah, we'll be on this podcast the next day probably talking, hey, so about that. But Mitch Barnhart built up this grace whenever he hired Pope. First of all, he didn't. The first night he hired Mark Pope, everyone wanted that man out of Lexington. Not Mark Pope, Mitch Barnhart. Let's not forget about that. I will bring it up here.
Yeah.
But Mitch Barnhart.
I'm not going to lie. That night I was frustrated and I looked at my roommate and I said, I'll be back. I kind of said it in a mad tone. I said, I'll be back. And kind of sighed and went in here to kind of record something. But yeah. And then it's crazy how the tone changed after that.
Dude, I did a Twitter space that night. Biggest regret of my life. So many, there was like quite a bit of people on that. It was like the first time in my life I did something where there's a lot of people and I was like, oh my God, oh crap, yeah. This is bigger than yeah. I thought it was. And then, everyone hated it. Now, obviously I'm not trying to dread too much on that. We're moving forward with Mark Pope. Mark Pope is yeah. our guy, which is a great transition into Big Blue Madness. Look at that, Wyatt. We're getting good at this thing.
Yeah.
We're getting good at this thing. We'll bitch and moan more about Mitch Barnhart one day. Big Blue Madness was Friday night, and before the Saturday thing happened, the incident, it was a great night. That was a ton of fun.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And tonight, I know you can say the same thing. And tonight, I'll never forget.
I will never forget it. I will take that one to the grave. It was so cool. And specifically the fact, and we'll go ahead and jump up to it, the fact that Rick freaking Pitino walked out at Rupp Arena in a Kentucky pullover, in a Kentucky quarter zip.
Yeah.
And got the ovation like the President of the United States would.
That's what I was wondering about. When I was like, if he does, like before, because we didn't know. We'd be like, if he does come out, will there be some booze? And we're like, yeah.
There was none.
But, oh my gosh.
That place erupted. It erupted when they noticed he was there. And I'll admit, there's a video I have. I'm going crazy in the video. I can't believe what's going on. I think I'm literally effing way.
My jaw dropped when he came out.
Me and my brother.
That and the crowd reaction combined just had me like in awe.
I'll do it for you, but my brother and I kind of stood there. It's like the whole time, like for like 5 minutes, I was like, no way, what's going on? It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm so glad I got to be there for that. That was actually, it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment.
I talked with somebody today who was also there. The student, he was actually in the front. He was actually in the front row, like he always is. Credit to him. He's dedicated man. he always finds the way in the front row. But anyway, like I was talking to him today, and I was like, who would have thought when we're in college, me and you, that we would. That we would have see Rick Pitino back in Rupp Arena with cheers.
I'm not kidding. That's the last that building's ever been when I was in it.
Oh, it's crazy.
I think it was. And he deserved it. He deserved it. It should have happened. I'm glad it happened. It needed to happen. For too long, I think we haven't recognized the fact that he kind of not only saved the program, but he's the reason Kentucky basketball is cool.
Yeah.
John Calipari gets the credit too. I'm not acting like that didn't happen. John Calipari made it. John Calipari took it to a different level. We know that.
He's Rick, like us. He's like our version of Rick.
Yeah, pretty much.
That 2010-15 run is our version of Rick that it is for older fans.
And like, you know, I can't say a whole lot about it. Rick Pitino was coach about a decade before I was born. So I can't say a whole lot about it. I grew up hating the man. I, I did not love the man when I was watching.
I'll say the same thing. I hated his guts.
I hated it too. When he got fired at Louisville was the best day of my life for a long time because I hated him. Hated him. I thought it was hilarious whenever he got fired. But as I've gotten older, my dad, as most Kentucky fans my age, their dad as well, probably think that thanks Rick Pitino's the greatest coach to ever exist. Shout out my dad.
And the thing with Rick, it's a soft spot now.
Oh yeah,
a big, big soft spot, and now he's welcome back home.
Wait, man, he made how many Final Fours? Three Final Fours and a national title.
Yeah.
I mean, he made the title game in 97, then left. There's a lot of people that believe from that era, which I don't know. Who knows? I mean, if they're right or not, that believe that if Rick Pitino never left, then Coach K probably doesn't end up being as well-regarded as he is. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Because that's a lot of years for
Coach K. A lot of years. But Rick Pitino, the way he played, I can get it. But at the same time, I wasn't around. I don't know. I wasn't alive. So
yeah, and that's the kind of point we can make, is that we weren't around at that time, but we understand the history still.
Exactly. I understand what that man did for this program.
We're true fans, and we understand what – because there's some – to be frank, there's some college students that don't understand.
Yeah, no, there's too many people.
There's a lot of fake fans out there. But we understand
the ones that wear the polos and the khakis every the ones that dress up in the dresses for football.
Yeah, but we understand what he did, and now we can welcome him back, especially if the people who experienced it will welcome him.
I gotta say, I don't get the polo and khaki thing to a game. I can't do it. I'm wearing a hoodie and jockey.
I'm glad you said that.
I
was looking at even other college games, and they sell crowd like. Student section, and I'm like, there's so many polo people.
The way I'm dressed up right now is how I'm dressed usually, which is a t-shirt and shorts.
Exactly.
And then if it's the winter for basketball, usually it's a pullover and jogging pants.
Hoodie or a pull. Yep.
Maybe jeans. We're really fancy if it's jeans.
I'm a big pullover guy.
Oh, dude, I about my favorite thing ever.
That's the cultist. That's a cultist son in me.
You know we. Me a little bit too, but except I don't really remember when he was coaching. So, like, when my dad was coaching, it was more like, no, I take that back. I was in elementary school. He was a suit guy, though, so.
Yeah, my dad's been coaching since I was born, so.
Yeah.
Actually, before that a little bit.
My dad's the polo guy. I'm not the polo guy. I can't do polo. But anyway, bless my mom, by the way. Jesus Christ. But, yeah, back on the topic. It was just a really cool moment. It's one I'm glad I got to see. It's one I'm glad Rep Arena reacted the way they did to him because, like you said, the history is so important. He brought the program. He saved the program. He literally saved it. Probably no one else could have, but he did. What's the story? Was it when Sutton was hired or when he was hired when Lute Olson was supposed to be the head coach?
I think it might have been Sutton.
I can't remember which one, but either way, maybe we wouldn't have been in that predicament if we hired Lute Olson. But like,
yeah.
Because in the story, everyone knows the story. Took the job, went to Arizona, couldn't tell the players they took it, so he decided to stay. stay in Arizona. Man, imagine. Okay, let's just talk.
Arizona was good.
Arizona was really good. He would have won a title here. Let's think of this. Coaching hires that we've almost made. Tom Izzo, 2009. Think of how different history would be if Tom Izzo was the coach here. Everyone knows it too. That was going to happen if they didn't make the Final Four at Michigan State. Like that was like almost pen to paper. John Calipari was second choice, and I almost make that argument about the Pope thing.
And that, to be honest, I think that would have helped Tom Izzo too because he. You see what that like they haven't been really good in a couple of years.
No, he's probably on his way out.
Would have really helped him.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about that.
2000 was it 2000? What?
Michigan State.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's the only one left. And the Champions Classic, well, I guess Bill Self, but like.
Yeah.
Of the like legendary coaches.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of the only one left from that era. Bill Self is not from the era. I'm talking about like the Coach K, Roy Williams, Calipari, all that stuff. I mean, Calipari's at Arkansas, but he took, you know. Anyway, imagine 06 if we hired Rick Barnes. Like it would, like we supposedly all, like were interested in.
Yeah.
For history, my God, would that have even worked?
That's a hell of a coach.
I don't know if that would have worked though. We would have gotten Kevin Durant here. We probably would have gotten Kevin Durant.
You said 2006?
Yeah, when they hired Billy Gillespie.
I think it certainly has held been better than Billy, but.
Well, but I mean, I could have been better than Billy, I'll admit
it. Yeah, but then, to your point, like, then you don't know if you get Cal or not.
You don't, probably. Yeah. Cal Perry's never the coach here if that happens. But my point with that is, I guess everything works out. We've never really gotten our first choice, except maybe. I think Tubby was kind of our first choice, I reckon. I might be wrong on that. If you're older, tell me. I'm just going based on what I've researched, I guess, about Kentucky basketball throughout my life. I'm pretty sure Tubby was the first pick, though, since he was an assistant here and was really good at Georgia. I don't believe Pitino was the first choice, was he?
I don't know who the candidates were.
Either way, you get the point.
The candidates there, but
Scott Drew, if he were the coach here, things would have been different.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know that the energy is nearly what it is if Scott Drew's the coach here. That's not a knock on Scott Drew. Wanted him. I wanted him bad whenever it sounded like we were going to get him. I will admit it. I'm on public recording saying I wanted him to be the head coach. I can't avoid that anymore. Dan Hurley obviously would have been freaking home run, but everything has worked out.
Man, I will say that was one of the more wild times during the coaching search.
Dude, we were lucky to get to cover that.
Gosh,
how cool was that? We got to do that. I'm gonna be happy about that for my whole life. You don't know how much kind of satisfaction I have out of that. It really did.
It really helped me too. Cause I think you said you had a lot of people blowing you up after Pope was hired.
Yeah.
After Cal was hired, I did do an Instagram live, and my gosh, it was the most I've ever had on.
It's crazy.
At one point, there was like 3,000 people.
We were doing Twitter spaces, me and from the other podcast I was on. We were doing Twitter spaces about twice a week, two or three times a week, and we were getting 100 plus people, 200 plus people, whatever, which for a Twitter space is pretty crazy.
That is really good.
And it was, first of all, a lot of fun. Absolutely loved it. Loved talking about Kentucky basketball. Matter of fact, we should do those one day. Maybe. I'll do them on my own even.
Well, those are fun,
We did them that. Me and you did that one at one time, didn't we?
Yeah, I've only did a couple, but it is pretty fun.
That one was a good time.
It's kind of like radio on Twitter.
It really is. I love it. I love interacting with people about it. Yeah. The dream for me is having a radio show. If that ever happens, you know, hit me up. We'll do it. Maybe we'll do it. Will we do it? Would we do it?
Oh, we could. We might.
We'll work it out a couple years down the road. But
radio is a lot different than podcasting. So I don't know if
radio is
all the breaks and the hard cut.
We're clearly not good at pacing ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that. But
that's like me.
No, bro, this is a mutual thing. But anyway, back the intros of the players at Big Blue Madness. Freaking incredible. Oh my God.
Coming out from the uppers was freaking awesome.
Mark Pope coming down from the very top of Rupp Arena pretty much is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
You know what I love? I'll just get back this second. But I love how Pope recognizes the people all the way at the top. Like he shouted
that. That was
great.
That's what we need. That's what we need. It's what we need from everyone involved. Is we need it.
We all know that the fans way up top are diehards.
Very
diehards.
Because
most of the time they don't get to go to much games.
Yeah, I've sat up there a few times. We'll say, if you're not someone who loves language, probably don't need to go up there. But I'm okay with it personally, judged by how many times I've said shit on this podcast in the past. So it's a great time. It's awesome. But I'll give Calipari credit here a little bit. I think he did a good job at recognizing the common fan until the last year here. Until the last year here, I thought he did a pretty good job at that. The last year he was here, awful. The last year, 2 years. But he did do that thing, and I'm not trying to... Oh, I know we all hate John Calipari now, but I don't. I'll never hate John Calipari. I've said that before. But the coolest thing he ever did to me was in 2022 when the coal miner off of work and brought his family to a game, and he was still covered in soot. Mm-hmm. And he got that man and his family tickets to sit front row at a game. That's what being the Kentucky head coach to me is all about.
Cal was really good at that.
And he deserves all the credit in the world for that. I think he's a good man for that. I think Mark Pope.
The Eastern Kentucky floods.
The stuff they did for that, great.
Yeah.
Mark Pope sending the team out to build houses in the summer. Mm-hmm. That's what being that, and that's why this job, and we talk about the job today a little bit, and talk about who would have been here. This job is more than just a basketball coach. Unlike probably anywhere else in the country, it is more than being a basketball coach. You are an advocate for the university, but you're also an advocate for the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And for its people. And that's a cool thing. And that's why Mark Pope.
We're lucky to know, especially with the state part of it, that Pope and Cal are like top notch at that stuff.
Exactly. And that's why Mark Pope, I think, is perfect for this job. Mm-hmm. He's perfect on that aspect. And I think in game, he's great too.
He gets it. He gets it here.
He understands this job better than Scott Drew would have, even though, like I said, I was vocal. I wanted him to coach. He's better. He's definitely better than Dan Hurley would have been at this. I even said then that I thought Dan Hurley was not fit for that part of the job.
He would probably blow a gasket.
He would lose his mind. and that's not to say he's a bad coach or that I would have been mad if he were the coach here. I would have been ecstatic. We would have been burning stuff on State Street, let's admit it. Yeah. Shaka Smart would not have been good at that at all. Bruce Pearl, maybe. He's done some good stuff at Auburn. But Mark Pope separates himself from everyone that could have been the coach here in that term. In that case.
Yeah, and that's what makes Pope perfect. He gets it, and as a former player, he's been here, done that, and now he's come back to do it as a coach. And he's also like, and what I also love about him is he himself has already said he's a fan.
Exactly.
He lives and dies just like us.
And the fact, and you can tell that the players are buying in the same way he is.
I love how on that they're kind of pushing the Kentucky's team thing. I really love that.
I love that KY Till I Die, all that stuff. I need that shirt, the KY Till I Die shirt. They wore, need it immediately. So as far as the event itself, Kenny Brooks, by the way. Kenny Brooks needs more credit too. Put some more respect on that band's name. We got to do that.
Badass entrance.
That entrance was like Sam, my brother Samuel. He leaned over to me and said, "He's about to do a Goldberg entrance, isn't he?"
That's what I was telling people.
I was like, "No way."
Some of them don't really know wrestling, so I was kind of like, "Holy crap, he's doing the Goldberg entrance."
I thought it would have been really funny if they had security go up there and knock on the door, and then he like opens it and. Yeah, flings it open.
They kind of looked at me, and I was like, well, I guess if you know, you know.
It was such a cool entrance, and then all the staff following him behind, all that stuff like that. It was so cool.
Literally Goldberg.
That women's team's going to be good this year. That women's team's going to be pretty good. Yeah. They got obviously, Georgia Morey.
All-American, right?
Yeah, All-American, preseason All-American, preseason SEC first team. I was impressed with we need Phoenix Stevens right now. I can't name the names of the players all of a sudden. Amelia, what's her last name?
Hassett.
Amelia Hassett. Yeah. I was impressed with her.
And that I'm really impressed with the size.
Me too. And being able to shoot.
They've got
with that size.
I think it's a Moore. That's the tallest player in program history at 6'7".
Silva? Is that her name?
It might be. Yeah, it's Silva. Silva, my bad.
Clara Silva. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's and, the one of them. One of the Claras.
They have height, though, and they're able to air it out, clearly.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and you got a couple of players who are around that height, and that is
they're shooting threes and drilling them all the time. Like, yeah. That team's gonna be good. I can't wait for that. I'm gonna go to quite a few of those games. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm definitely.
I'm bought in on Kenny Brooks and Kentucky women's basketball.
And the what I also love is like, Kenny Brooks finished last year 18th.
Yeah.
In the country, Virginia Tech. Now he's coming to an even bigger.
Two years ago, he made a Final Four.
Yeah.
This man's coached to a Final Four. He can do it.
I told Phoenix this. I was like, I'm gonna really love going to women's games because I don't have to report on it, and I can just party and yell and be the biggest fan I can be. That's what I'm gonna do.
Dude, hit me up. Hit me up. Breaking Blue Podcast.
Any game, I can go to. I'll go to.
I'm going this year.
I know some overlap with men's, but I'll try to go.
Those Sundays can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I need
especially Sundays.
Yeah, and I want to get into Memorial Coliseum, the new one.
Wait, it's beautiful.
I gotta get in beautiful. There. But the basketball program is not. It's not about. I think I can't remember if it was Phoenix or who it was. It might have been Phoenix that said this on Twitter that this is no longer Big Blue Madness used to feel kind of like Kentucky men's basketball and then women's basketball.
Over here. Same,
now it's about Kentucky basketball. It's not Kentucky men's, not Kentucky women's. It's Kentucky basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing now. And that is cool. That's really cool.
It used to be when Cal and Coach Mitchell, it used to be Cal. And then Coach Mitchell comes out and dances and then everybody's just like,
yeah. Yeah.
But now you saw the energy. You saw the energy Friday when Coach Brooks came out. And then the players were out there. Like, they're really good. Like, I was watching a lot of their drills.
Yeah.
They look really good.
Yeah, they look great. I mean, and then as far as the men's team, the players themselves, Travis Perry won the three-point contest.
He's just automatic. Like,
he's crazy.
What a surprise that is.
Not to me or you. Definitely not to me or you. Someone who watched him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Chandler. Won the dunk contest. Really cool dunk.
Over Leanne and Mark.
Yeah, that was really cool. Really puts into perspective how tall of a man Mark Pope is. We don't remember that.
That was really good and talented too. Because I mean,
he's gonna get more playing time than we think.
6'10", 6'11".
Yeah, he's
not high. That's all. I was laughing at Leanne's face the whole time. As he was about to dunk it, she was just like, had her eyes closed. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But you can tell Chandler's probably going to get more time than we think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to play like a ton, but I think he's going to play a little bit.
Especially, I kind of think of him kind of as a Duthie hero, and especially last year, but the year before, as a developmental piece.
A dude with a jump shot.
He'll be really different play styles.
Yeah,
but I'm just talking about development wise. Like that'll be really what he.
He's very athletic.
Yeah,
he's very athletic. I'll give him that. And we forget this guy is a five star at one point. I think he ended up a four star, but he was a five star at one point in his recruitment.
Yeah, still a four star in that class. I mean, he's a
top 35 recruit. Like this guy is not some random schmuck we went and found on the street.
Like it. I know he had a 3-year mission, but still, and that's still a top 35 recruit that you're bringing in. That, I mean, Pope recruited him, so he knows what he can do.
Yeah, Pope recruited him at BYU. Obviously, he was committed to BYU, but flipped. Who won the 3-point contest in women's again?
I can't remember. I could look it up real quick.
That was a cool one too, though. But no, Chandler's gonna play quite a bit, I think. We're not gonna be doing the 8-man rotations anymore. That's done. We're gonna be 10, 11 deep.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to.
So yeah, you got too many people on this team.
Yeah, all the talent and all the transfers you brought in.
So then related.
I said this today on Twitter. I don't know if anybody really took it to heart, but I did say that especially with this year at Pope's first season, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to at least watch your expectations because he built this roster in a month.
Yeah.
And especially coming as a new coach, you're going to have to build the culture again. You're going to have to build everything.
There's not a single rim.
It's going to take time.
There's nobody from the Calipari era. It looks like he was never there.
Yeah.
He was there, but as far as like staff player, it looks like he was never there.
Yeah, and it's going to take time, and that's a big thing people have got to understand.
Yeah.
And the SEC is pretty damn loaded this year.
It's stacked. So on that note, the SEC media predictions came out today, and Kentucky was predicted to finish
8th.
They were predicted to finish 8th in the SEC.
Crazy. 8th is crazy.
Sorry, I had to lean in a little bit. Just make sure you could hear me say that.
Yeah, it kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I had my computer on Twitter, and I didn't see him moving in.
Dude, 8th. How? I don't think they're worse than Texas. I don't think they're worse than Ole Miss.
That's what confuses me.
I can see 6th. I can see 6th or 5th.
I know the SEC's pretty stacked this year, and I think they're going off mostly because the totally new team in Kentucky. So I get it that way, but no, like I think the Cats, the predicted order of finish too, like not even just right now, it just finished, which is crazy to me because I do think the Cats end up somewhere in the top 5.
I think they're 5 or 4.
Eighth is a little bit far.
This team is going to be inconsistent. I do think that there's going to be games where we're going to be like, my God, I can't believe we just beat Gonzaga. But then there's also going to be games like, well, we shouldn't be losing to Vandy by 15 with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, too, is that if the three-point shooting is truly there, 15 points becomes more like 8. So that's proven by the NBA nowadays.
There's so many different rankings out there. I know the AP has – as I said, 23, which I predicted yesterday.
I don't really know
I get that right, but
yeah. And on that note about 23, I think that's about right. I think that's reasonable, because it's a new coach.
Build on a new team.
Yeah, it's a new coach, new roster. Realistically, do I think we're 23rd? Do I think we're better than that? I think we can be, but I think that's probably the place that they should be. I wondered if we'd be higher because they do have a tendency early on to do TV ratings to pop a rating with like a Duke Kentucky game since we're playing Duke. I kind of wondered if we'd be like 18, 17, something like that, because they are known for that. Early on, but it didn't happen. I think Duke's 7. We play a lot of ranked teams this year, multiple times. Just in case you want to know what they're doing down in Arkansas, they're 16.
I will say just for the record. The AP poll backs up in the rankings, being Kentucky being 8th in SEC because there's 7 teams in front of them to start the season.
There you go.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about.
That is insane.
Like I said, Pope's going to have to prove it because it's a whole new roster. I think that's the big part of that. It's because it's a lot of uncertainty. You're just going to have to prove them wrong.
And I have full confidence they will. Yeah, I have confidence in them. I think this is going to be a good team. I really do. I'm more bought in on this team than maybe some people are, but I think they're going to be good. They're going to prove people wrong, and they're going to prove us right. So do with that.
I do predict the top 5 finish in the SEC.
I think we'll be ranked most of the year. We'll probably, like you said, top 5 in the SEC or 6 at the worst. Tournament is definitely going to happen. I think that's probably a given. We're going to beat good teams. We're going to lose to some teams that maybe we shouldn't. But in the long run, no matter what happens this year, it's easy to forget, but you need to remember it. Things are going to be better with what we're doing now, than they would have been had we continued whatever we were trying.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly why you needed to change.
And if the thing that we were trying works elsewhere, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, it's important to know, was not going to happen here. Credit to all the media people who have said that.
It just wasn't. Kyle has a different
– Kyle got comfortable.
A different drive.
Yeah. Kyle got comfortable. Yeah. And when you get comfortable, here's when you start to lose.
Yeah. He got way too comfortable.
Very.
The pressers, he would just look at
– man, there's stories out there that
– he would just look at people and be like, oh, I got a new radio now. And just –
dude, I don't know. I've told you before, I don't have a lot of connections with basketball, but I have a couple. And there's some people that have told me some things where I'm like, if that's true, like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, Jesus Christ.
There's some crazy stuff out there. But anyway, like, I do think that, especially this year, like, if, like, you're going to have to understand 21 and 10 isn't bad this year.
21 and 10 is actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
I think that's about what will happen.
Yeah, I do predict around there. Yeah.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, and I think fans are going to have to just understand that. And because there will be some will be like, oh, why are we winning or losing only six games or five? It's like, it'll take time.
It's going to – this is going to work.
I think he built the roster in a month.
Yeah. But, two, I think people are underestimating how good of an on-court coach Mark Pope is.
Yeah.
I have thought for a while, even though I did not want him as my first choice initially, I still thought he was a good on-court coach. He's a smart coach. He's a very bright basketball mind. We're going to see that in action. And we don't know. I think most of the fan base is kind of not aware of this, of just how good he is on the court. He makes adjustments really well. His offense is fast. It's going to be very fast now that he's here with the talent that he needs. Because let's be honest, at BYU, you don't really have the talent there. Mm-hmm. It's going
to
be
a big limit to recruiting at BYU. So
yeah, you got none here, and he's already got a 5-star and a 4-star.
Yep.
So,
and it's looking pretty good the rest of the class.
So. I guess that's about it. Do you want to do any lines? Or we're in an hour and 2 minutes, man.
No, I mean, that's fine. I don't really haven't looked at much anyway. And it's Monday, too.
It is Monday. I'm going to be gone out of town pretty much all week except for today. So we had to do a Monday today. But we might start doing Mondays when basketball gets up anyway. So
I do know in a couple weeks, I think that – Minnesota State Mankato games on a Monday night. So
we're gonna have to hold off on that one.
Yeah,
Wesleyan's next
week.
We'll
make the shifts.
I want to go to that one, Wesleyan. I'm gonna do what I can to get a ticket to that one. But I got nothing left for you. I don't really want to do a score prediction for the football game because I'm just too sad. So,
I couldn't tell you what will happen.
It's
I have no clue.
I have as good of a chance at pretty much going outside and like throwing a dart to a board that's like a mile away and hitting the actual target.
This team is so weird. Like, how do you perform so well on the
we're going to end on a negative note, but I think you're going to see this Saturday what lies ahead long term. You're going to see.
Yeah.
If they win, it's going to be the same thing. If they lose, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, if I'm going to be honest with you. This could be heading to something messier than we would like.
I'm really eyeing that Auburn game.
That's going to be the real indicator, because if you lose next week and you lose, let's just go ahead and scratch everything I said. The real indicator of what's going to happen to this program is if you lose to Florida and you lose to Auburn.
I'll give you this. What if you win at Florida, but lose at home to Auburn?
I think you're right back to square one where you are now. No one's going to care about big wins if you can't beat bad teams.
Like we said earlier, you can't get nowhere if you keep doing this.
You have to beat teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
That goes for both sports. You have to beat teams you're supposed to beat. That's Mark Stoops, and I'll end on this. Mark Stoops is heading down a parallel trajectory that John Calipari just got off of here. I think that's worth noting.
Yeah, it is.
If you saw the Jamarian Wilcox statement today, if you saw the last minute of his press conference.
I listened to that live and I was like, did he really just say he has to tie his shoes? Like, if that was one of the issues, like, what?
If you listen to the last minute of that press conference, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I respect Mark Stoops.
Really weird.
Thank you for everything you've done here, man. And I'm not calling for your job yet. But we're getting close, I think, with some people. I think some people are about to have their breaking point.
I was going to mention the Stoops show tonight, but by the time this thing gets
out on Tuesday.
But anyway, yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what he's got to say.
Anyway. Go Cats.